Well, a very good evening, everyone. It's a privilege to be speaking the second in our series on the Lord's Prayer. Can I just reiterate what Steve said? Lizzie and Joe, it is a total delight and encouragement to us to hear how the Lord is using you. Lizzie, we have vested interest. We dream of a coffee environment at the back and of trendy and lovely things, so we may be in touch. Manny, can I just say that 25 years ago, I ended up in Manchester, and Platt had the most extraordinary role in keeping me safe as a Christian for three rather roller coaster years in Manchester, and I have a deep love for that church. So your work is so important, and that's one of the reasons I'm here, is because of that ministry there. But tonight, we come to that wonderful prayer that Jesus taught us. So I'm going to begin with a prayer for us now. Would you bow your heads? And in fact, this prayer is going to incorporate what I'm going to be speaking on tonight. Omnipotent Creator God, our freely faithful Redeemer, who is both merciful and just, you are holy. You are so completely other from all you have created. You are the potter and we are the clay. Help us tonight to get a glimpse of how mighty and awesome you are. Thank you that you became flesh and dwelt among us in the form of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you have saved us. And because of this, we have the amazing privilege of calling you Father and the amazing purpose of glorifying you. Amen. Well, everyone, having looked at this talk, as the days, when we're on these rotas, we do look at the days and think, oh gosh, it's getting nearer and nearer. But the more I've looked in preparing this, at the holy, omnipotent God, the more aware I've become of how fallen I am as a sinner. And I often look at what I'm saying and think, almost that Greek word of hypocrite, putting on a mask, that I so don't live up to this. We are all fallen. We are jars of clay, and I'm as broken and cracked as anyone else. And in that light, I have no authority. But it's, of course, because of the treasure inside us, which is the knowledge and love of Jesus, that is why we are able to be forgiven and come before our holy God. And we have learnt from last week that prayer is so important. And Jesus, who was the ultimate prayer teacher, we're given that privilege of disciples who are like us, fallen, cracked jars of clay. They said, Jesus, how do we pray? And he gave them this prayer. But what I think is important, this series mustn't make us feel guilty. I don't want you to go away discouraged. Quite the reverse. We all struggle with prayer at different times and different places in our life. It is hard. But I want us to be encouraged, to delight in prayer. So that when you hear the thought of a prayer meeting, that your heart does just go, yes, this is what I want to do. How can we recapture that? And I hope we'll get some of that this evening as we look at what Jesus teaches us. And maybe it's no coincidence that on Thursday night, we had in this church one of the most extraordinary prayer meetings I have ever been to in my life. And I so nearly didn't come. And I would have missed out on that. I wasn't expecting it. Judy organized it. I didn't even read what it was. I thought it was about bicycles. It was nothing to do particularly with bicycles. It was to do with us as the family of God coming to pray for the persecuted church. We heard the most extraordinary testimonies of people being killed, their churches burnt, the violence against Christians in Pakistan, in Syria, in Iran. And compared to us in the West, the speaker said they appear to have so little, and yet they have everything, because they have the Lord Jesus, and they make him, they hallow his name and make him the number one, and they pay so much for that, the cost and the pain. And we sat there and we were humbled by this. We were deeply humbled, having worried about the little stresses of our day, to see our brothers and sisters who are suffering. And more than that, they said, we don't want your money. We want your prayers. We want your prayers. And the speaker, who was particularly powerful in the way he communicated, said he gets so disheartened by the Western church. It's apathy. It's lukewarmness when he's come back from trips. And so I pray that with this series, we will discover the joy of prayer, the privilege. And for those of you who weren't here last week, just a tiny recap of what Steve taught us in the first phrase, our Father. When we put our trust in Jesus, we are adopted into his family with that privilege of calling him Father. And then the second, in heaven, he is omnipotent sovereign. We are his children, and we're in it together. We are children of God, and we need to phone home. That's what they used to say to us as students. We had the BT adverts with BT, who'd say, it's good to talk. And parents of students say, you must ring, and if you don't ring, and God longs for us to pray. So let's come to our praise tonight. Hallowed be your name. Jesus teaches us, and I don't know if this comes surprised you or not, that the first thing we should pray for is God. And the main point of this talk, if you feel you're exhausted because it's so hot and you can't remember anything, the main thing to remember is that it's all about God, the one and only holy sovereign creator ruler of all. And it's interesting because in the Lord's Prayer there are six petitions or six asks or however you want to say it. And the first three are, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. It is totally focused on God. And then after that, once we've come before the Father and committed ourselves to him, we then have the next three petitions. Forgive us our sins. Give us our bread and lead us not into temptation. So it is focusing on God. 2 weeks ago, we took our two children. There was an inset day, which, of course, are very important. And we went to London to take children to a tourist day. And we went to Downing Street and Whitehall, which I was very excited about. And the kids weren't interested in anything at all, except the machine gun that the policeman had on the gates. So we photographed the machine gun and we talked about that. And that was the most exciting thing of the day, which is a little bit disappointing. But I was so surprised by the number of selfie sticks. Now, I don't have a selfie stick, but everyone was taking selfie sticks. And we were cramming to get to number 10 on the barriers there. And it's quite politically charged. Well, it was then, it is now. So there were lots of sort of what I call people who weren't tourists, but then there were lots of super tourists. And I was always in the way because they're doing their selfie stick. And I'm like, you don't need a picture of yourself. Just come and see what you're doing. But would you agree that the selfie is the perfect metaphor for what is wrong with our society and our culture and indeed the human heart? It is totally focused on self, the prison of self. We are self-absorbed sinners and we need to be turned upside down. The prison of self, it's so, so hard for us. I bought an antique telescope a few months ago on eBay. I just felt I needed one, which I don't. And if anyone wants one, they can have it. But because it's so antique, you can't see anything. But I got it the wrong way round. I was so excited to see through it. I got it the wrong way round. So I had the main bit of the telescope on me, and I'm looking there, and of course, the far end is tiny. You couldn't see a thing. And then you turn it upside down. You got it right. There we are. And begin to turn. And then something that is 28 miles away suddenly became so clear. Everybody, we need a revolution. We need to turn our perspective to God away from the self. And I believe that the way we perceive God shows where we are at spiritually. Because the more we grow as Christians, the bigger God is, the more almighty, the more holy. And the question I would challenge you with is, if it's all about God, what are you spending most of your time praying for? You see, when we think about God's reputation, his rule and his plans, it will then change the way that we ask things for ourselves. Jesus teaches us that the first thing we should pray for is, hallowed be your name. It goes against our sinful natures. And I don't know about you, but I know that 99.9% of the time I think about myself. When I got married, I realised how selfish I was as a person. You don't realise that. And it's very hard. But I have noticed that as I've grown as a Christian, there is an inkling, just a tiny glimmer, of thoughts that say, what does God want in Crowborough? I wonder how God sees these people, and what is God's priority? It's still very small, it's only a glimmer, but it's so exciting when that happens. And I wonder if you're praying for God to be hallowed, whether you'll begin to get more of that inkling of, how is God? What's his view? What does he want? It reminds me of that wonderful prayer. I don't know who said it, but it could be John Chapman, but someone will know. But it's that, for me, it's just wonderful. Dear God, what are you doing in your world today? May I be part of it. And you see, our Father's family business is the redemption and complete renovation of this world as an inheritance for us to share with Christ in glory. We are part of the family business, and the purpose of our lives is to glorify God. That is what we were made for, and we will find true fulfillment and happiness when we get rid of our selfie stick, we turn our perspective upside down, and we focus on God's glory and hallowing his name. Now, it is hard, and I think as a church we are being challenged. Our corporate prayer is not, we are not delighting in it. So few people turn up. What is it? We want to be set aflame again. I have a wonderful house group. There are two people here who are in my house group, and I hope they won't listen to my next sentence. We love each other. We've been together for 7 years. It's a joy as we look at the Bible. But I have to say that several times when we pray after a Bible study, I feel that I am a triage nurse in A&E at Pembury Hospital, as we go through the list of health issues that we are going to pray for. And I sort of sort them out as to which is the worst, and then we'll get to this one and perhaps cut that one for time. Now, of course, health issues have their place. And of course, we live in bodies that are perishing, and they are going to get worse gradually. Some worse for others at different times. And God does want to hear in that. But Jesus is teaching us that the first thing, the priority, the first thing in prayer is hallowed be your name, to focus on God. But obviously to do this, we need to focus on what God's name is and what it means. God has kindly revealed himself to us in the Bible by his actions, his nature, and his character. And he has many names in the Bible. I think Thirsty have done a series on the names of God, so they'll be very useful in this next bit that we're going to do. But I have got a list of names for God that the Bible uses. It's not an exhaustive list, on the table. And in a minute, if you'd like to take one, in a minute we are going to pray. We're going to pray to God. And we're going to hallow his name in our prayers. But I'm just going to mention four of the names, because I think these are the main ones. Two majestic names dominate the Old Testament. Elohim and Yahweh. And Elohim is the most commonly used name in Scripture, and it emphasized the power of God, the supernatural power of God, the ruler who created us and rules over us. And Yahweh, as you'll see on the sheet, means freely faithful redeemer who is both merciful and just. Then in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we have two names that dominate, and they are Jesus and Father, which of course we looked at last week. And you see, all these glorious names are fulfilled and perfectly revealed to us in Jesus. Jesus. And of course, every name, well, most of the names have a meaning in the Bible. If you think of Moses drawing out, or Jacob the deceiver, and of course, Jesus means God saves, the Greek of the name Joshua. Jesus. We were always told in a Bible study, if you ever don't know what the answer is, just say Jesus. And 85% of the time, you'll be right. But it's true. And in fact, the names of God that are listed on here, they're like God as a diamond. Every angle gives another, he's multifaceted, another viewpoint of his extraordinary, marvelous, holy character. Well, everybody, what I want to do is I want us to be challenged this week to be delighting in praising God through his name. So what we're going to do is we are going to pray in our table groups. But just before that, I want to remind you, we've been doing Philippians as house groups. And you remember when in Philippians 2, Paul goes into that wonderful bit, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." One day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. And when we hallow, we respect, we honor, we glory, we praise, we worship as holy. Holy is the adjective that's used the most to describe God in the Old Testament. What does it mean? It means to sanctify. It means it's so precious. It is separate from all else. It is adored with reverence, honor, and respect by everyone in every place. To hallow God. And if we want to hallow God, we will want people to know that Jesus is the name above all names. So everybody, I want you to get into groups and don't feel intimidated in any way. I want you to choose one name and just to pray, to really hallow God. Maybe the name will be a springboard for you to pray. If you don't feel like praying, just be quiet and praise God. And to help us springboard, I was suddenly drawn to that vision in Revelation, where John in chapter 4 gets a glimpse of the throne of heaven. Because that's one day where we will be, and we will be delighting in God. So if we want a glimpse of heaven, let's get that tonight as we praise God. Let me just say this, and then we'll go straight into prayer in our table groups. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all round, even under its wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Let us pray for 5 minutes. And of course the answer is that we hallow God with the whole of our lives, our behavior, what we do, the way we use things. It's our heart, of course, as we know. But I don't think we can hallow God without praying. And I think that's the message we need to take from this. We need prayer. It is God's power for us. It's a privilege and he's given it to us. And yet so often we don't do it. And I thought, how can we encourage one another to pray this week? And now I'm going to go off piste. I'm going to mention something that has helped me. It started off as something a little humorous and it's become a prayer trigger. And what it is how do you find it easiest to praise God? What is it that you see here that makes you think, "I want to praise God"? Is it a beautiful scene? The perfect view? For me, God's creation. We live in a beautiful county here. And I must keep telling Adam that because he may be worried he's just arrived. But it is beautiful. A few weeks ago, I walked from Cookmere Haven across the Seven Sisters. Beautiful sunshine, the blue sea, and the garden. And I thought, my whole heart wanted to praise God. I remember working on cruise ships going from Perth to South Africa in the Indian Ocean. This vast block of hideous flats of a cruise ship. And yet there was nothing for the whole horizon all the way around. And as I walked out early in the morning and looked out at the sea, I just thought, "God, you are awesome. You are mighty." What is it this week that you are going to see that will trigger you to praise God? You see, I told you there's something humorous. I've been very stressed recently about the aeroplanes coming over Crewborough. You may not know this. Some of us are geeks and we have that app and we're watching where they're coming from and that they're late from Alicante and all of that sort of thing. And how many passengers. But the swathes, and they come every day. And I was getting very wound up about these aeroplanes And then someone suggested, why don't you praise God every time you see an aeroplane? So I did. The only trouble is they were coming every 4 minutes. And it started off as a joke, but now every time I see an aeroplane, I start laughing because I sort of go, oh, I think of praise God. You know, it's, today I've been laughing at aeroplanes because it's been busy at Gatwick. And of course, that is stressful when I am actually at Gatwick, but. How can you? I suspect some of you have got this new disease where you have to keep doing this every 20 minutes, 8 minutes. How about praising God every time you open your phone or look at your phone, give him? Or about getting in the car. What is it in your work routine that will make you think of the holy God who's just blessed us in so many ways this week? And maybe we need to rethink the way we perceive God. Have we lost our reverence for God? You know in the Bible that Moses, and it seems very harsh to us, didn't enter the promised land because he didn't show reverence to God in front of the people. And we feel sympathy for Moses because the people were such a nightmare to lead, but he tapped that when he did the way he did it was disrespectful. Or maybe is it Uzziah who tried to guard the Ark of the Covenant because it seemed to be slipping and yet he paid with his life. And I feel that maybe today we've become incredibly casual about the way we view God. And the effect that will have on our children, that they grow up, that if the phone rings during a prayer meeting, you answer the phone. Or the way, how often have you, I've hardly ever, I'm on my knees. Does that matter when I'm at quiet time? I'm often slouched and I'll make myself a nice coffee before the prayer. Or I worry and I feel prompted to mention that, do we need to rethink about this, the way we perceive this holy God that we see listed, all his attributes, the one ruler of the world? The other way that we hallow God is by proclaiming the gospel. That must be in our DNA, surely. If we are going to praise God and live with him in glory, we cannot not have a heart for those around us. And yet we find it a struggle. So maybe we need to hallow God in that. Maybe in our workplace, the public arena, many of us have been very moved about the politicians who have a Christian faith and have been under hugely under attack. You may know that Steve's brother-in-law has paid a heavy, heavy price for his faith. But he's been hallowing God's name in his work. And that's a beautiful thing. And maybe us, whether we're teachers, whether the way we do business, the way we do things, have we become casual? We've got the family name. Surely it's important that we hallow God and pay a price for it. Let's pray, everybody, this week. Let's pray for the church worldwide, our brothers and sisters. May you be triggered. And if you see an aeroplane this week, have a good laugh and praise God. You see, we were designed for pleasure. God designed us for pleasure in him, to enjoy his goodness. Our deepest fulfillment and highest joy are in hallowing his name. And this serious duty coincides with our delight, deepest delight. This will bring us the happiness we desire, and it will give us a little foretaste of what heaven will be like when all of us will be in front of the throne praising and delighting in God. Hallowed be your name is how we begin. Let's say a quick prayer.